Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa, and we are joined by a friend of the podcast, Boilermaker legend Sterling Carter. Sterling, thank you for hopping on the pod, man. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great, man. Another one in the book, so I'm doing great.
Well, that is a perfect lead-in to the Boilermakers fresh off a 97 to a 79 victory at home against Akron. And just kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts. I thought this was a really impressive win, especially, coming off of the Alabama win on the road. And then you're getting ready to go to the Bahamas, I would assume, here within the next like day or two. It could really be like a potential kind of trap game with as good as Akron is. They can really fill the bucket. But what an impressive performance from top to bottom from the squad here this evening.
Yeah, man. No, I thought like I think Akron, coached by what John Gross, who's like the former Illinois coach, and they play with a lot of tempo and like honestly, they kind of mirror Alabama in the fact that they shoot a lot of threes. I think they said at one point in the game there were six guys on Akron who had hit a three. They're like they're willing to pick you up full court. They play fast. If you turn the ball over a lot against Akron, like that's going to be a problem for you. But I thought we handled it really well. I think something that I've noticed the last couple games has been the way that Purdue's kind of imposed their pace on the game. Like I know we're gonna probably get into a bit more, but like the Alabama game, I think they talked about Alabama as the second or third fastest pace in the country, and Purdue's at like 3:24. But I remember like when I was watching the game, like it felt like Purdue had control of it. Like they were like, no, we're not gonna rush. Like we'll play at our speed. I felt like the same thing was true tonight. You're getting contributions from everyone across the board. And then I mean, again, we'll get into this more probably later, but like the way that we've been rebounding has been these last couple games, and I'd argue it probably starts really in the second half of that Oakland game, but the way we've been rebounding, crashing the boards, that has been very, very impressive. And it's the stuff that makes you think like, okay, yeah, like this is why they were probably preseason, ranked number one in the country, because you have multiple ways that Purdue can kill you. And then the fact that like you have a guy like Oscar Clough who just takes up so much space in the post in terms of like rebounding, and then obviously offensively, and Trey, like, ever since he came back, I don't know what happened between last year and this year, because last year, Ben, we'd be on here and be like, oh man, like yeah, Trey, it's cool that like you scored 21, but you only got four boards. And like this year, he's just been out here hustling for every rebound. Like even if he doesn't get it, they're trying to tap the ball to like to keep it alive for maybe someone else to get it. But yeah, I thought that like this was the opportunity for like a letdown after the Alabama game, because that was a good win. And we just weren't about that. We were like, nope, this isn't gonna be a letdown. It's like Akron, this is great that you really want to try and win, but like it's not gonna work for y'all today.
No, it was a good one. It's probably the best one of the year so far. But Sim, I think you bring up a good point in that game about the pace. And Sterling, I want to ask you kind of like as a guard, how much do you take that into account, like in the scouting report when you're playing against a team like Alabama specifically or even Akron, and like that they're run and gun and they're going to shoot the three, like, do you kind of try to slow yourself down mentally when you get the ball, like knowing that you need to kind of slow the pace up a little bit?
I think as a player, you just gotta know the scouting report, right? So I know from previous experience playing at Purdue that Coach Painter and staff do a very extensive job of preparing their scouting reports. Sometimes it's like 3 to 4 pages, very detailed. So I'm assuming that it's still that way. So knowing the scouting report, knowing that they played Alabama twice before, so they know the type of style Coach Oates runs over there. So knowing what this team does and what they're good at is very important. And I think our guys handled themselves very well. Like I was very impressed with the pace. Like they were speeding up, they were shooting a lot of threes, but we never like flurried. Like we never got, upset, or the guys just kept their composure, And I think that has to do a lot with the camaraderie our guys have, and have been there, done that. They didn't let it affect them. When those guys hit some tough three pointers, man, they hit some very tough three pointers in that game, and it just seemed like they would never go away. But with Braden and the rest of the guys out there, they just stayed the course and never let it affect them, and we came out with the victory. So I think just being able to understand the scout, understand the opponent and what they're good at and what they do plays a big part in that. I don't think it's necessarily you trying to slow down or you trying to go faster. I think it's just knowing what the other team is going to try to get.
I agree with you. And then soon to your point about Trey, like we got to start talking about him. Like what a week he had. After missing the first two games with a hip injury, he comes out against Alabama, and finishes with 19 and 15. And then he tonight against Akron, he finishes with 17 and 15. And it just feels like a concerted effort too from him. Like he feels like if you're watching him, like he's ripping rebounds from other dudes on the team. Like he really is setting the tone for rebounding in between him and Clough. Like I know early on we were worried about the rebounding, and one guy on the podcast here told everybody to calm down because Trey hadn't played yet. One guy named Sim Longa was a little worried
Wow.
about it.
Wow, that's
But
crazy.
man, he has just looked like the best power forward in the nation right now. Like the way he's playing, pick and roll, that push shot that he has is just money. It's been really nice to see him just kind of respond from that hip injury, and he's really kind of reset this team as far as rebounding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, first off, that's kind of wild. You know what I'm saying? Call your boy out like that. It really be your own people, America. But I mean, the fact that the last two games from your front court, you had, what was it, 26 rebounds combined between Oscar and TKR against Alabama, and then 29 today. You're right, man. I it's hard to think that Oscar Clough coming to Purdue hasn't had some type of impact on the way that Trey now rebounds, in terms of like knowing, because last year I just don't know necessarily if he would have had the same type of resistance in practice in terms of like getting a rebound. But like with a guy like Oscar, you have like that is something you have to pay attention to. You have to be aware of like your positioning. And I think Pant would talk about how like you can win a rebound by basically like when the shot goes up, in terms of your positioning and being able to box out a guy. And yeah, Trey, like, I mean, yeah, I don't feel like I was wrong for having the concerns about the rebounding, because even with him out, I feel like, yeah, like if he's not in the game, you still like there still needs to be an attention to rebounding. But the fact that he's come back, I mean, he has shut me the hell up these last couple of games in terms of the way that he's played. I mean, 17 and 15, and then what was it, 19 and 19 and 19 and 15, and 19 and 15 against Alabama. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's nothing to like to it's nothing to slouch at. If that's the type of production you're going to be getting from your front court, your starting front court in terms of rebounds, it really bodes well in terms of. In terms of what this team will be able to do, because that was the concerns we were like, or I'll say myself, that I was raising after the first couple games of like, man, if you can't get those kills, of being able to close out a possession by getting the rebound, like you're gonna set yourself up for problems. But with those two rebounding the way that they are, yeah, it does, like it lends itself to a lot of it lends itself to a lot of good things for us, man. And I just the way that Trey has come out this year and almost seemingly been more intent on making sure that he's getting rebounds. And you mentioned obviously what he does for us offensively. I feel like that goes without saying, but I've been incredibly impressed with the way that he's rebounded in these two games that we've seen him.
Yeah, and I'm no math expert, but he's averaging 15 rebounds to start the year.
Oh, is that what 15 does?
but he's been really good. But man, we gotta talk about Oscar too, because I know a lot of people early on were worried about Oscar, and we even mentioned it on the pod about how like give him some time. You know, he missed time with his visa issues, but it really, and I think even Ray mentioned it during the game, but it seemed like Oscar really starting to settle in now. And man, 14 and 14
Six.
tonight, like he was a beast. And if you can get that at the five, paired with what DJ gives you off the bench at the five, man, it just, you know, it's what we talked about so much about how you needed that kind of next level, and what we missed last year. And man, when those two are playing how they are, like this team is deep, man.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, Sterling, I like to get your thoughts on this, but like, it doesn't even feel like from Oscar we've really seen his like full offensive repertoire. Like, we've seen a lot of like, hey, I'm just big, I'm rolling off screens a certain kind of way, I'm getting all these shots that are close to the basket. But like, it was not like I don't feel like we've necessarily seen the full cupboard of like what he's capable of doing offensively. But yeah, I mean, I just his addition, I think if you've seen these last couple games and you're still sitting here be like, man, I don't know like what I've seen from Oscar, like, okay, yeah, like you're clearly like you're watching the game in the dark. Because he's like he his imprint on the game and his impact to this Purdue team in terms of the way that he impacts from the five spot of something we weren't necessarily having to this degree last year. It just like it yeah, again, it just it's something you can't overstate in terms of the value of it. So yeah, I mean, Sterling, yeah, like I said, like I'm curious to get your thoughts in terms of what you've seen with Oscar and like if you agree in terms of, like we had like the way he's scoring, like it's cool, but like it's not like what you know he can do. It's almost like yeah, he's just doing this because like it's just kind of like coming to him in terms of the way that we're running the offense, but I don't feel like we've necessarily seen him like properly go off offensively.
I think that it's just timing, man, to be honest. Like kind of like my time there, like I feel like I could have done a lot more, like a lot more. I feel like I kind of just wanted to come there and, you know, be a great teammate. Like that was my focus, is always being a great teammate and just doing what I was asked to do. But skill-wise, I felt like I could do a lot more. I did a lot more when I was at Seattle U, so I knew I had the capability, but just trying to play my role. And I think with any transfer coming into a situation that they've never been in, it's always going to be a kind of a slower start, especially when you already have two guys on the team that are all Americans and, you know, they get talked about the majority of the time. But I think he's just, you know, he's doing a great job as it is. Like I know when Trey Kaufman-Marin was out, people expected him to pick up the load and do a lot more. But in his role, that was not what he was coming there for. It was rebounding. It took him 2 games to kind of get his feet underneath him and, you know, get his confidence up. And now that, you know, the real starting five is out there, like he's doing an amazing job. I just think it's just timing for everything. But 14, I think he had 40, he had 14 and 14 tonight. What more could you ask for, you know, from your starting five man? And, you know, he's always keeping the ball alive. Like he's always keeping the ball alive. So that just gives us more shots, more opportunities to score it. You know, or other guys to get the rebound, him tipping it up, keeping it alive like that. Like I just think it's timing. Like as the year goes on, before we get to the Big Ten conference play, I think he'll be moving on all cylinders by the time we get to conference play.
No,
Yeah.
and like your point about how well he's been, and then you pair that with DJ off the bench with 9 and 2, so you get 25 and 16 from your five spot. Like that's really tough to beat when you got Trey doing what Trey does, Brayden doing what he does. Fletch drops 16 in the first half. Like, you know, I think this game against Akron really just kind of showcased the depth that this team has. Like, you got production all the way down the roster. Like, you know, you got guys like Jakari getting the pick six and getting an and one. You know, Omer, who we'll talk about here in a second, really played well. CJ knocked down a big three, like top to bottom. Like this team, I feel like this game specifically kind of really highlighted the depth that this team has.
I think that we are set to. I don't want to talk too far ahead of time. Obviously, everybody's goal is the national championship. I just think this team is put together so well. Like, they have every piece, and they have dual pieces in every position. It's not like, you just got a point guard in Braden Smith, and then you got a center, and then you got a four. No, these guys all can move over, move backwards. Like, you can put Trey at the five if you need to. You can put Braden at the two, put Omer at the one, whatever. Like, I feel like Coach Painter and the staff did an amazing job of keeping the core guys together and then adding the pieces that they needed. Not like most of these colleges are doing, is just going out and trying to get the best player in college basketball or the guy that scores the most points or whatever. I feel like they always go after the need. And the need for this team, obviously, over the years have been rebounding and putting guys back in their natural positions, putting Trey at the four and at the five. And, with Oscar being here, it's allowing DJ to get reps and watch and see somebody do it at a high level. So when he comes in the game, he knows like what he has to match. And I think it's only going to prepare him for, the following years and things like that. For the rest of the team, like you got Jakari coming off the bench, and him and CJ, man, those two guys are the very underrated pieces we have, I feel like, because they come in the game and they do exactly what they're asked. CJ doesn't shoot the ball very, very often, even though he can, he can score it. But he plays his role, he defends at a high level, and kind of just plays and waits till it's his turn or his number is called. And same thing with Jakari, comes in off the bench and gives great energy and just does what he's supposed to, doesn't force, doesn't, sometimes young guys can come in the game and, I haven't got a shot up lately, let me shoot this one. Like, they're all very disciplined and well coached, and that's why I think we're gonna have a lot of success this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Guys.
I feel like when CJ and Jakari, they're just kind of guys who like it's like you can't stick out in a bad way. Like they come in and they just kind of do what they're supposed to do. It's like they're kind of like filling in the gaps, feeling like they're kind of like the gray area. And obviously, like you were talking about today, like we know CJ can score. We know Jakari can be is it like I think we know both of them are good two way like they're two way they're good two way players, but the emphasis is more of like hey just don't stick out in a bad way. You can't be a liability type shit. But yeah, man, I think that their development and their like I think that their what they have skill set wise is something that will kind of be like. It's kind of like unsung to I think like people who aren't watching Purdue, but I think for those of us like say like the three of us who like were watching it and like really kind of dialed in, like their contributions won't go unnoticed because like without what they do, it doesn't allow us to be what we are, what we can be.
No,
Yeah, I
I think
agree.
that's a really good point. But guys, let's talk about Omer, Meyer. A little bit because this really felt like kind of his coming out game. He played 23 minutes, 14 points off the bench, knocked down three threes, six assists, four rebounds. And really to me, and Sterling, I want you to kind of put on your coaching hat now. But it seemed to me like this was the first real game where Paint kind of figured out like the lineups a little bit more. And you saw Omer playing with Braden and letting Braden play off the ball. And you look at the box score and Braden only played 27 minutes, which is kind of, I don't know if there was a game last year where he only played that. And it just felt like kind of a really good job from lineup, matchup, Omer doing what he does. Like, it's just really nice to see that backup point guard play and be able to kind of do some special things and really just to take some pressure off of Brayden.
I think, man, to be honest, I think the kid is gonna be good. I think he's just trying to find his niche on this team. Obviously, he's been a pro before, so I think with him, it's just getting that understanding of how college basketball works, how a system works, like a real college system works, and you know, because I think it's just gonna take like the same thing as Oscar, just a little time to get, and I think his time is coming, and that's why you're seeing him have a better game tonight. Like he has to continue to see what shots are his, and you know what are good ones, what are bad ones, and I think that's the big emphasis that I'm pretty sure the coaching staff has with him is, you know, take a good one, you know, give up a good one for a great one, you know. Like he has the ability to come in off the bench and be the guy. You know what I mean? Like he has that opportunity, and I think the ability that he has is what we need off the bench, like coming in with that group of guys. Because he can play the one, he can play the two, and then him playing with Brayden at times is also even better situation, because you know Brayden is always looking to pass, even though he can score as well, and he you know finds his shot, his mid-range jumper, or you know come off the screen and pull up for the three. I think him and Omer playing together in situations is like you're gonna have to guard one of them. Which one are you gonna choose? But I think it's just timing for him to you know, get comfortable. Like when I went overseas, it took me like four games before I understood like the physicality, the different rules, like traveling, being able to knock the ball off the cylinder, that type of stuff. Like it took four games, even though I felt like I was skilled enough, and it took me four games. The first couple games, I had hella turnovers. I wasn't scoring like I normally would. I wasn't shooting the ball very well. But once I got comfortable, it was a wrap. Like, you know, once he gets comfortable, I feel like it's going to all come together and the team is going to be, you know, moving great. And everybody wants him to do well. So that's the positive as well.
Yeah, I feel like too, Omer's a guy who if he hits the first couple shots, then like you know offensively he's gonna be I would rather say he's gonna be engaged really on both sides of the ball. To me, my concern for him is just like defensively. Like, 'cause what happens when them shots aren't falling? But he's got a build of like, hey, bro, like you said, he can play the one and play the two. So he can guard the one and he can guard the two. So it's like making sure that he brings that defensive presence, even when the shots aren't falling. That's kind of the only thing I have like a little bit of like, hey, like I hope that that's something that comes along. But like you said, I mean, he's a guy who's having to adjust to a new style of basketball. Because yeah, the college game isn't like the international game the way he was playing overseas. But I mean, it's weird because like in his own way, he kind of plays to a certain extent offensively the way that Brayden does. Like he gets that high ball screen and he got that free throw line extended jumper. A couple of those fall and then all of a sudden it all kind of opens up. He can go to the basket and obviously, you know, he's pulling up, he's splashing threes. But like you said, Sterling, like he's a guy who when he comes into the game, like the offense is kind of to an extent, it's in his hands. And his ability to be able to play with Brayden is big because it allows Brayden to play off ball. But like Omer will have five, seven shots every game that he will be able to get up. And if those start to fall, it's kind of like, okay, look, we'll ride this out. We'll ride this out. A guy for him to come off the bench and to be able to get, you know, he had 14, was 14 and 6, 14, 6 and 4, he had four rebounds as well. And you know, he was 5 of 10, 3 of 7 from three, and all that in 23 minutes. And like if you're getting that type of production from your backup point guard, a guy who can also play the two, it just like it's he's a guy who like, hey, if he starts to really figure it out this year, now you like you know op the opposition, you have a lot of problems because you're gonna see Brayden go out and you're like, oh, thank God. Then you see Omer come in, and you're like, shit, we might have a problem now because this guy can come in here and just light us up for a quick 10. So yeah, I just I've liked kind of what I saw from him. I think he's getting more comfortable with each game. But yeah, I think that his what he gives you in terms of being able to give Braden a break, whether he's on the floor or even obviously when he's on the bench, I just think that's something that if we want to go to where we go to this year, I think Omer's development and his production is going to be a big piece to that.
Yeah, I think you have
Yeah.
to take into account as well, though, that he's still a freshman. He's 18. People just think because he came from overseas, he's supposed to get it and adapt really quickly. He's still a freshman at the end of the day, a very skilled freshman at that. But you have to think about it like he's a freshman. College basketball is different for him. He comes from overseas. That's another hurdle he has to get over. Then who knows? What he's going through outside of basketball with the change and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure they're making him feel comfortable, but you never know what a guy's going through. So just taking all that into account and to see him have a good night tonight was great. But the physicality is different over there overseas than it is here. Just the different skill sets that we have in America, there's so many guys that are good at, coming off the dribble. So his defense definitely has to improve. But I think it's all going to come with time and just getting familiar and comfortable with the system.
Yeah, no, and I think like to your point, Sterling, I think you had made the quote, and I think they said on the broadcast as a quote from KJ, but like when he said passing up a good shot for a great shot. And one of my favorite plays from this game was when Omer had an open look at a three and instead dumped it off to DJ for like a wide open layup. And I think that just kind of speaks to kind of how like this team is like gelling and how they're getting more comfortable with each other. And when I saw that play, I was like, oh man, like if they start getting that stuff rolling, like I mean, we talked about it with the dev, but like if you got Omer shooting and now he's rising up and dropping off to your 7 foot putter for a layup, like, how do you defend this team?
Right. No, I think he had a play too in the first half where I think he got the ball off of got the ball off the screen from Oscar at the like at the top of the key, and Oscar went and like sealed his guy off, and like Omer could have honestly come off the screen. He could have probably pulled up for a jump or a three, been fine, but he ball faked and then passed it into the post for Oscar, and Oscar ended up dunking it. And it's like those are the type of plays when you see. Like you said, the whole thing about like passing up a good shot because he'd already hit a few, but passing up a good shot for a great shot, because Oscar, when you talk about when you want to reward a big for when they run the floor well or like obviously they get good post position, you want to reward the big for that and feed the big guy. So, yeah, man, like that type of play in terms of like this team kind of figuring it out, because that's something that I don't think necessarily like I know we've talked about it before, Ben, but like you. With Oscar and with Omer, like they didn't have the full allotment of time with these guys in the offseason for various reasons. And so you're kind of seeing now, like obviously through some of these games, like they're through practice within the games, that they're continuing to get that time of building that rapport, building like understanding, okay, this is how so and so plays and really getting familiar with each other. And as that continues to build and develop, I think you'll just continue to see more of that, of guys who, even when they're shooting the ball well, understanding, no, look, let me get the ball down to Oscar because like this is a better shot. And also like the more guys who get involved, and if everyone's starting to hit baskets, then like that's a real problem, because one guy being hot on a team is great. But if three, four, five guys are like if everyone's feeling confident in terms of shooting, that's even more dangerous, because now if you load up on one guy, like they were trying to double Trey, like extending that stuff out, and like you pass the ball, you swing it around, and if you're swinging the ball and everyone has confidence, like that's still a problem for the opposition, because now whoever's shooting it has that confidence. So, yeah, man, just like Omer, like yeah, I just can't say enough, man. When I saw him over the summer, I was like, oh shit, this could be problems. But the fact now that he's doing it for us, yeah, I like it, and I want more of it.
Yeah, I think it's gonna come, and like I said, just timing. We're only 4 games in, timing. Timing is everything because you want them to have it when it's time to get down there in March. You want them to have it at that time. Right now, it's just, getting the reps, getting the familiarity, and just improving game in after game. And then when we get to March, where it's time to shine, that's when you want them to have it all put together.
No, you're right. Guys, let's take a second though on after this game to talk about Coach Paint just a little bit. Anybody who listens to this knows how much, appreciation I have for Coach Paint, but for him to get his 500th win at Mackey Arena, you got Rayfield on the call, who, Paint went out of his way to kind of highlight earlier this week about how much Ray kind of, helped change the program. So to have Ray on the call, you just kind of makes it extra special. But like for Paint to get that 500th win, like Sterling, I know you can probably speak to this, but like how cool of a moment. But like I think Purdue fans just need to appreciate like how not only good of a coach Paint is, but like how good of a person he is. Like you see some kind of the other coaches in college basketball, and I'm not gonna call anybody out by name, but there's always, you're like, they're kind of extra, or they might do some things, but like Paint, Paint is an OG, man. Like just give some love. Let's just give some flowers to Coach Paint on his 500th win there.
To me, Coach Painter is the ultimate person. Like, I don't know if you guys have met him or haven't, but playing for him in the year that I played for him, he gave me back the ability to love the game. Every time I've reached out to him since I've left there, the man has done nothing but help. And just continuously help and help and even things that you would never think that he would help people with, he's always willing to help. Like, you can tell what kind of person Coach Painter is and how genuine he is. I was just telling somebody this the other day. The same things that I said to, family and friends when I decided to call Purdue my next home after I left Seattle U, Coach Painter's, how he tells you that, you come here, you're gonna earn everything, you have the potential to get this, this, and this, but it's only gonna happen if you do the work. Every kid that has been recruited to Purdue has said the same exact thing. So he's consistent. He's understanding. He's like a real person. Like, you can just listen to him in some of these press conferences. He's not like big time in anybody. He's answering questions, whether he wants to be there or not. He's gonna talk to you. He's gonna talk to you like you're a person. And I think that's the most important thing when it comes to, having a guy that's done it as long as he has. Like, he's seen the good, he's seen the bad, he's experienced winning, experienced losing, but he's still the same person. Being the number one team in the country, he's still the same person. You got guys like I read what the kid that we just signed, I don't want to mess up his name, but the guy that's the big guy, 7 footer coming from. Oh, I forgot what prep school he's coming from, but I think he's played for the China national team. He said the same thing that I said when I left the campus and when I went on my visit there, and I'm just like, man, it's crazy. I played there 12 years ago, 13 years ago, and a guy that's getting offered now is saying the same thing I said about the man. How is this possible? Because he's a genuine guy, he's real. And so him winning 500 games is just, a testament to who he is as a person. And the staffs that he have all liked him. Most of his guys go off and get head jobs and are successful in their own right, and they always thank him because he's a giver, man. He's a definitely a giver, and I appreciate him so much for even this opportunity that I have coming there next year and being able to do this. He didn't have to do that. I'm 35 years old. What does he have to do for me for, Like, so I think about that all the time. I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I just want to make him happy and proud and just learn from him. That's another reason why I decided to go back there. I'm pretty sure I could have did it somewhere else, but it's only right to come back home, and Purdue's been my home since I left there. So I'm just grateful. He's a great guy, and I'm super excited for him hitting 500 wins. I think he's the best coach in the country, and that's no biasness. I think he goes and gets guys that help his program. He doesn't go get guys that are five star all the time or just the best guys in the country. He goes and actually takes the time and recruits the right guys to bring in. And so I just it just continuously testament to who he is as a person, man, and I'm just grateful. I can talk all day about Coach Paint and how much I appreciate him, but yeah, man, he's a great dude, and I'm super excited for him to reach 500. Hopefully he gets another 500.
Another 500 and a couple natties to go with
Yeah, for sure, man.
it. Man, if that happens. No, but I think you bring up like a good point, and we've talked about this before. Like, I think the one of the most underrated things about Payne is how, like, his eye for talent, like, and how he can recruit dudes, like, not only to fit his system, but just overall good players. Like, you look at some of the best players that have come through here, and, for all of the people that get paid to put stars next to high school players' names, and they did it for the guys that Payne recruited, and they end up being national players of the year, Big Ten players of the year, all Big Ten dudes. Like, that to me is what makes Paint so special, is how he can go out and find dudes. And he does it year in and year out. And like, you always hear, like, when you're listening to like a game and you're like, oh yeah, that's like a Matt Painter guy. Like, he just went out and found him. And like, that is just, I feel like it's just such a compliment to Paint and how he can go out and recruit, and he finds dudes. I don't want to say like before they get big, but just like his eye for talent, like, he can just get guys and they come here and just fall out. And yeah, man, just, I mean, I could talk about Paint also, probably not the same way that you can Sterling, but like, just I just hope Purdue fans realize how lucky they are to have a guy like Paint, coaching there.
Yeah, man, it's definitely I don't know about his other former players, but for me he's been tremendous. Like not to get into things that he's helped me with, but just this opportunity to go there and be a grad assistant and to help me get my coaching college Division I college coaching career off the ground, like it's just amazing. Thinking about it and talking about it for a while, and to know that it's actually happening now for me is, I can't do anything but thank him enough. Like, because like again, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to, give me the opportunity. Like, just same thing when he recruited me, it was the same way. Like, you didn't have to, give me the opportunity, but I'm grateful for everything that he has done for me. Like, he, anytime I need him to write a reference letter, he'd do it. And anytime, I'm looking at going to try to get on a coaching staff somewhere else, he's willing to do it. So I just felt like it was the right decision to come back home and do it under the best in the country. So I'm super grateful for my opportunity and for him to still be there and doing the things that he's doing at Purdue.
Can't fault you for that. Gotta see if they're hooking up with these quarter zips and stuff now.
And you
Not
gotta
at
let
all. And
me the dough, man.
right.
We talked about it last time, how like good things were going to happen, and I'm just so happy to hear that for you. But Sterling, I want to get kind of your insight, and this is going to be a two-part question, because I want to get both the player and the coaching inside. So Purdue is 4-0 now. They're getting ready to head to the Bahamas for the Bahamar Championship. And it's a pretty legit field right now. So you're going to go up against Penny Hardaway and the Memphis squad. And then you're either going to go up against the number 11 ranked team in the country, Texas Tech, or you're going to go up against Wake Forest. So first, Sterling, let me get your input, like, on a coach. Like, how does this process go? Like, how would you prepare yourself with your team, like, for a holiday tournament like this, as far as, like, not only like this game one, but then scouting forward like potential games down the road? Because, if you beat Memphis, you could potentially play Texas Tech, who's one of the best teams in the nation. Like, that's a pretty big game resume builder. How do you prep yourself for those kind of back-to-back games like that?
So with my coaching hat on, I'm making sure I reiterate to my players that, it's one game at a time. We're gonna take our first game, which is Memphis, and focus on Memphis. And that's where our scouting, that's what scout is gonna be on, is Memphis first. But when I'm reaching back to my assistants and, whoever else is a part of the preparation for the games, I'm gonna tell them, hey, look, we can possibly play, Texas Tech, or we can possibly play Wake Forest after we play and win against Memphis. So, just give me some options and prepare some things for both teams, or, even split it up between two of the assistants or whatever. Give me some cut some film, and so we can go over, who we need to go over once the game is over. That first game is over. But really, just focusing on that first game, you can always go back and look at scout. They're gonna be prepared. Purdue is a very prepared program. Like, Coach Painter doesn't play about being prepared. So I know for a fact that they've probably already scouted all three team other teams in the tournament. Regardless of who they play, I'm sure they're going to have a scouting report for both teams, Wake Forest and Texas Tech, and Memphis for that matter. But whoever comes up that they'll end up playing, they're going to just pass that scouting report out. And then as a player, kind of the same thing kind of goes hand in hand, and I'm focused on the task at hand. So if Memphis is who we're playing, then that's what I'm focused on. Anything after that is irrelevant, because I gotta get through this game first. It's kind of like taking it as like being in the NCAA tournament. I was never fortunate enough to make it to that point, but just thinking any type of tournament game, you're gonna prepare for the first game and that game only. You can't think ahead, because then that's when you start getting complacent. You start looking past the team that might have their best game of the year against you that night. We've seen that before with some early exits from the NCAA tournament. Don't want to talk about those. So, yeah.
No, but like, to just kind of piggyback off that, like, as a player, like, how do you balance when you do like the holiday tournament, like, as far as you're doing the kind of the extra stuff, you're going out on the beach, you're doing all that stuff, but then staying, making sure you're staying prepared for the games as well?
Man, we went to my senior year at Purdue. We went to Orlando, and we stayed at the Orlando Universal Studio, whatever. We stayed in the hotels there. My family came down, my parents, my brother and his kids, and my family was there. I stayed in my room the whole time that we were there. I didn't go out. I didn't hang out. I didn't, I told them I was there for business. So that would be my approach to it. You can always, these kids make a lot of money nowadays, so they can always fly themselves back to enjoy the scenery and all that. But I would just be focused, reading my scout, relaxing, watching basketball or whatever, watching film, making sure that I'm prepared for the game. That's just me though. You know, I can't speak for how what they need to do or what they do nowadays, but that's how I would be locked in.
That makes sense. But yeah,
Get in trouble
like,
being outside.
because I would be at Universal, so that's probably why I'm not an athlete, because I'd be out riding all the roller coasters. That's one of the many reasons why I'm not an athlete, but I
Bro be
digress.
using his NIL money to get the fast pass and stuff. It's nasty work.
When you're in town for business and you're about business and you know what I mean? Like that stuff doesn't move you. Like it you know, it'd probably be fun to go hang out and go sit on the beach, but if your mindset is locked in on what it's supposed to be locked in on, which is winning a national championship, like I said, they make a lot of money nowadays and they can always go back to the Bahamas and enjoy the scenery, man. It's about business, and if they're the team that we all think they are, then that's what they're gonna be on. Locked into that.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I'll say yeah. There's that. I imagine they'll treat this as a business trip. And so yeah, if it's a business trip, it's like, yeah, okay, we can do some stuff, like some fun stuff. But at the end of the day, we're here to win. We're here to, like, you know, we're here to come take a trophy and go back to West Lafayette. So, yeah, I expect kind of like more of like a business mindset from this team. But I think it's interesting, yeah, to get your perspective on it, 'cause especially like being a player and then now obviously being into coaching, just kind of how that whole thing goes and how you try to just find a balance for guys. But it sounds like you just kind of let guys do what they need to, what they need or want to do to a certain extent. But just obviously you want to make sure that everyone's locked in and keyed in. And I feel like you kind of have to be that way, like you said, like with the way that we scout when we prepare, it doesn't really like bode, like doesn't lend itself to like, you know, being out here messing around, you know, like, you know, doesn't allow you to go to the Universal the way that Ben's out here talking about doing.
It definitely doesn't, man. You got to be locked in. Champions know when to play around, and they know when it's business time. And I just get the sense that these guys and coaching staff, they understand what this year is about, and it's about winning it all. You know, like, so sacrificing that time, you could go hang out on the beach and, you know, drink Mai Tais and all that, to get the championship trophy, something that's never been done, to etch their name in Purdue history forever. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's about, and I think this is a great group to do it, and you know, the staff and the everyone. I feel like Purdue is a program that is ran by everyone. Coach Painter is the head guy, but he puts in place, you know, the right people, whether that's the players, whether that's the staff, whether that's the, you know, the managers, the, you know, the office staff that he has. Like, everyone, it works together and are great at what they do for the program. So that's why he's been successful.
No, I agree. And all the stuff about the tournament, like you can see how you're going to be a good coach, Sterling, because you have very much coach speak there about all of that. But yeah, man, I really enjoyed this. You know, this has been a fun start to the year, and I feel like kind of like that we're up on a roller coaster and we're kind of going up on the top hill right now. And we're just kind of itching our way up. And I can't wait to see kind of where this goes. Again, the next game against Memphis in the Bahamas is going to be a 6 a.m. Eastern start on CBS. And then they'll play Friday at 7 p.m. Also on CBS Sports. I should clarify, either be Texas Tech or Wake Forest. But Sterling, man, really enjoyed this conversation. Like, I think we can all tell like how excited we are about this team. And about the start, but not only that, but just like excited for you, man, like for all the things you have going on. Just kind of want to give you like an opportunity, you know, because like when we talked last time, you were doing your AAU thing. So kind of what's going on with you kind of out there right now?
So right now, you know, high school basketball out here just started. We're gonna do a little. So the program I'm coaching with now, well, the same program, they've actually just switched over to Nike. So we were Puma last year. Now we're gonna be coaching on the EYBL circuit and the EYCO circuit. So I'm not sure if I'm gonna actually coach this year, to be honest. But I'm still gonna help, like, you know, try to find kids to play for the program and things like that, just to pass my time. But I my focus is really college basketball and Purdue basketball and just preparing myself and getting ready to make that jump and transition to that. I have like 20 days left in the military, so my focus is really Purdue basketball, to be honest with you.
I mean, your focus might need to be that EYBL because they always have a Nike always has a little drop, you dig?
Yeah,
Right.
man, but it's tough when you got, you know, I have, you know, financially I have, you know, kids
That's
and
fair.
things that I got to take care of, and
That's fair. That's fair. You
if I
gotta have your
gotta,
priorities. So I get that.
yeah, man. So it's something that I would love to do. And then also, you know, I'm still waiting to hear back from Coach Payne on if I'm even able to do it, just due to the compliance stuff. I
Right.
don't want to get anyone in any trouble, so just kind of waiting for that, to hear about that and see if I'm able to do that. Then I'll revisit it when it gets closer. But as of right now, my mindset is college basketball and just trying to be the best I can for when I get out there.
What's just up, yo? We're looking forward to having you on a few more times this year, man. Like Ben said, man, I love having you on here. And obviously excited for you that that you'd be able to go back, be up in West Lafayette properly the right way. But yeah, no, just shout out to Siri because I don't know why she just went off. That's cool. But yeah, man, like thanks for hopping on, of course. And like getting your insight and seeing the kind of being able to talk to the game through your lens, what like now being a coach and previously being a player. I know I speak for myself, but also probably for Ben as well, and just how much we appreciate you, man.
Man,
Yeah,
for
man.
sure. Anytime. I think people need to give you guys more love on this podcast, man. I feel like you guys have great topics. You guys get some of the, you know, old guys on here, and I feel like a lot of people don't do that. They don't take the time to reach back, and you know, Purdue wouldn't be where it's at without guys like Raphael Davis, AJ Hammonds, and you know, the Tyrone Johnson. Those guys came before the super success. So, you know, Raphael got him started at the end of his collegiate career. But guys like Tyrone Johnson, you know, was a freshman during some successful times, and then as he got older in college basketball, you know, things went downhill a little bit for him. My lone year, we didn't have such a great year. It wasn't all bad, but you know, it wasn't great like how they're playing now. So I don't know. I feel like you guys do a great job, and you know, I hope more people start tuning in.
Appreciate that,
Well, I
man.
appreciate that. I
All
ain't gonna
right.
argue with you
I was
on
gonna say, I'm not gonna argue with that shit at all.
that
Yeah,
one.
clip that, send that out.
I speak for Sim, man, where like I can't wait to see you, man, on this sidelines there. And we talked about last time, like you destined for great things, man. I know that. And this is only the beginning, and hopefully, man, we can get you back on here as this season rolls on, because really exciting times. But want to thank you again, man, for hopping on. You know, it's been fun. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna continue to be fun. Can't wait to see how this team responds as they head out to the Bahamas. Another couple games that, you know, you call resume builders out there. So Can't wait to see how they do it, man. Sterling, I can't wait to have you back on here, man, because I think you really provide some great insight. So thank you for that. And
For
your
sure, man.
time's coming, man. So I can't wait to see you out there on the sidelines.
Man, anytime, man. I appreciate you guys for having me. You guys have a wonderful night, and I'll chat with you guys soon.
Yes, sir, man.
Yes,
Sounds
sir.
good.
And most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.
Boiler up, man.